I was watching something they had on BBC News.
You're looking at one of the oldest fragments of the Quran ever discovered. It's written on parchment, most likely made from sheep or goat skin, and it's been dated by experts as being more than 1,300 years old.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Serbian who's now Muslim, who's inspiring to be a hafiz of the Quran.
And I opened up the Quran, and literally it was like the third verse. It was Surah Taha, ayah 46. قَالَ لَا تَخَافَ إِنَّنِي مَعْكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Do not be afraid.
We have one God, His name's Allah, Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon Him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the Deen Show. I'm your host. We got a wonderful and amazing story with you, Marco, here on the Deen Show. How you doing, Marco?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good.
Your story, how we met, is very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to start it off and you kick it off, right? We're at the masjid, the mosque, and you approached me, and then you were telling me how you actually came to Islam, and then you mentioned the Deen Show. You watched some of the, you were on a journey seeking purpose of life, and you came across the Deen Show, and it kind of did it for you, and then here we are. Did I give you a condensed version?
That was pretty good, pretty spot on. it was kind of crazy because I was watching like a lot of different videos and stuff, and I came across your videos. It was like 2 or 3 weeks after I converted. I went to the masjid for Jummah, and then I seen you there, and I was like, this guy looks a little familiar. I was like, where do I know him from? And I was telling my friend, I was like, he looks so familiar, I just can't quite put my finger on it. Uh-huh. And he was like, oh, I think that they're having some fundraising or something for the Deen Show, and And I was like, oh, yeah, I used
the
to
Deen
watch
Center,
a lot of his videos.
Center, yeah. We're trying to get the property.
Yeah.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله
Bringing Sheikh Sami aside, giving a tour of the Deen Center.
So we transforming this from people worshiping the creation to worshiping the Creator.
May Allah bless your efforts, Eddie. How you doing, brother?
All right, so as you can see, we're getting to work and we need your support. So go ahead and help us to get this where it's top notch, inshallah.
So yeah, it was pretty crazy, subhanallah.
Yeah, that was amazing right there.
Yeah.
And what stood out was your story, because you come from a Serbian, the background is from where my parents are from Bosnia, they got Serbia, Croatia, and that's kind of like almost like the unforgivable sin, right?
Yeah,
people who think like, okay, if I'm born Serbian, if I'm born Croatian, I die. That's like a religion.
Yeah.
But you just proved it wrong right here, right now.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, what led to that? What led to you actually making a decision that you're going to even investigate, look into Islam? What made you even at such a young age to even contemplate thinking about like purpose of life? Because many people shut that off.
Yeah. You know, that's something where, you know, when Allah says in the Quran that He's the best of all planners, that's like spot on. Because I had no real intention to look into Islam. I really didn't care, I'll be honest. Like, to me, it was just like, I'm Christian Orthodox. I'm going to practice it. I love it. I'll die as it, whatever, you know. But I randomly, like, met a group of Muslims. And to be honest, I really didn't even know they were Muslim at first. It was just like, we were all friends and hanging out and talking, chatting it up. And they like slowly started giving me a little bit of dawah. Like just here, like, you know, one thing a day, you know, just, hey, you know, we believe in Jesus, right? Like, you know, the small things like this. And at the time, I didn't know what Islam was about. I had no clue anything about it. And so I was just talking with them a lot and getting to know them and like, why do they practice Islam? Why do they believe it? And what really got me is I remember it was summertime because I converted in July of 2022. And it was summertime. And so I didn't have school. So I was like up all night. It was like 4 a.m. I was like playing video games. And my friend texted me. I'm like, why are you awake? It's like 4 a.m. He was like, oh, I'm praying. That's what really first got my attention.
Wait, hold on. Rewind now. So you this is your friend. What's his name?
Ibi.
Yeah. So he's Muslim.
Yeah.
And you called him at what time?
I didn't call him. He texted me.
He texted
you? Yeah, something along the lines. He like responded to something I texted him earlier. And he was like, oh, yeah, my bad, da-da-da. I can't remember what we were talking about. Yeah. He responded like 5 hours later at 4 a.m. Uh-huh. And so I'm awake. And I'm like, why are you awake at 4 a.m?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I'm praying.
Fajr prayer.
Fajr, yeah.
That's because Muslims, we pray 5 times a day. That's the early morning prayer now before sunrise.
That really caught my attention. I was like, you're praying. I was like, bro, it's 4 a.m. Why are you praying at 4 a.m?
You're like, who does that?
Yeah, to Christians, it's like, what? Like, you know, it's like crazy to even think of that. And so he was like, yeah, bro, I'm praying. Like, this is what Muslims do. We got to pray 5 times a day. I was like, okay, bro. I was like, you have fun doing that. But yeah, that's what really first initially caught my attention, is when he said he was praying. And it was like 4 a.m. And so then I started to do more research. I was like, I was just curious, right? I was reading the Bible more every single day, and I was starting to pray to God like 3 times a day, like as a Christian. I was like, God, just guide me, whoever you are. I've got no quarrel with you if you're Hindu, if you're Buddhist, if you're, you know, from Islam, if you're Jewish, I have no quarrel what religion you sent. Like, I'll follow you, I'll worship you, whatever. And so I kept praying. It was like 2 months maybe, just constantly reading the Bible. And my faith in the Bible started to deteriorate.
Why?
Like, I was just seeing so many verses where it was like just vague hints where it's like, God is only one. Like, not even vague, it's like clear, like God is only one. There can't be more. And then the Christians will say, oh, there's occasional like vague ones where Jesus like claims divinity in a way. But like, it didn't feel like that to me. You know, it didn't really feel like that. And so my faith just started to deteriorate. And I was watching so many videos and whatnot. And so finally, I searched up top 10 reasons why Jesus is God on YouTube. And I was like, okay, this is going to be it. This is what's going to, I'm going to be good after this. Mm-hmm. So I searched it up, watched the video. It was some pastor. It was like 4 minutes long. And it was just so, like, there's nothing there. There's no basis there. Like, nothing stuck with me.
You wanted something to like clear you back, to revive your faith. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I was just scrolling. I was like, man, there's got to be some good video here. There's got to be something. And then I stumbled across your video as I was scrolling, top 10 reasons why Jesus is God. Your video came, top 10 reasons why Jesus is not God. Mm. And it was with Yusha Evans, I think.
Yes.
I think. And I watched that video, and that like almost, I don't even, it almost like completely destroyed my faith in Christianity. Like from that point, I was like, man, I don't know. I was like, I don't know what to do now. Like I was so like lost at that point, because I was like, man, I've been doing this for 18 years of my life. I've been praying every day to Jesus and doing this, like, and I'm finding out like it's not true, like it's wrong the whole time. And so I was in a weird point in my life at that point where I was like, man, I don't know what to do. So I started talking with my friends some more, and we were just talking about Islam, and I was like, man, I just want to learn, like, tell me, just teach me everything. I want to learn, because Christianity, I'm seeing some flaws right now, you know. And so, yeah, it was just maybe 2 months of just constant research and watching debates and talking with my friends and watching your videos and Zakir Naik and like guys like this. And then it was just from that point on, I was like, man, I can't believe in Christianity. And so I just started to learn solely about Islam from that point. I was like trying to understand it. Maybe I want to practice it. Maybe I don't. And then finally, July 14th, I texted my friend. I haven't talked to him in 7 years, maybe. And I texted him. I said, bro, I want to take my Shahada. He said, bet. Tomorrow's Jumma. And at that point, I was like, I don't know what Jumma was. I was like, okay, I don't know what that is, but let's go. So then July 15th, 2022, I went in and took my Shahada. And the rest is history from there.
But you knew now, obviously, what the testimony of faith was, the Shahada.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you knew that, and everything made sense to you.
Yeah.
It was clear.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing else to think about,
nothing,
huh?
No.
Wow.
Nothing.
That's probably. Let's talk about this prayer. Like, so you're doing this praying, and you're beseeching, you're calling on God. Mm-hmm. Like, how was that? So other people can, you know, because people will watch people who are, like, let's say someone's out there overweight, or somebody who wants to get healthy, and he'll mimic someone who's someone into physical fitness. But now someone wants to, you know, they see also that the contradictions. They're seeing that, okay, this Trinity thing. They're seeing this God dying for my sin. Doesn't, a lot of this stuff just doesn't make sense. This is not to disparage on anybody or any group of people or anything, but. Now, when things don't add up, doesn't make sense. You go to get answers. The answers also don't make sense. Over here, it's making sense that God is one, alone, worthy worship. So tell us, like, what was that like? You're making this prayer. So you're just praying to God directly alone? Are you praying a mixture of Jesus and God? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the recipe that you're following? You know?
Yeah. So to be honest with you, there was, like, no real recipe. I was kind of just, like, freestyling.
Yeah.
Where I remember... I put my head to the ground, like how we do in sajda.
Okay, did you do that because you saw Muslims pray like that?
No, I just, and the craziest part, every day in my house, the way I face is towards the Kaaba.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I put my head facing
so
that
you
way.
Prostrated
and I didn't even
now.
Know. Yeah.
That's how Jesus prostrated, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed to God. I think that's in Matthew 26:39, where he put his face on the ground. So you did that without anyone telling you to do that.
Yeah.
Powerful, wow.
And so I did that. And the crazy, like, I just realized it now as, like, I've been praying the past few months in my house and whatever. Like, it's the same way facing the Kaaba. I had no clue at the time.
Yeah.
But I just did it. And as
soon as
I did it.
Now, technically, this is just for people to know, educational. You didn't have to be facing the Kaaba.
I know.
It's just coincidence.
I'm just saying it's like.
You didn't have to.
It was just a weird coincidence. Yeah. But, yeah,
this
you
is
didn't
just
have
the direction of Muslims face for unity. Yes. Okay.
Right. So, I did that. And then I just started to talk to God. And I was like. I literally said, like, word for word, I said, God, whether you're Jesus, whether you're Allah, whether you're Jewish God, Hindu God, I don't care who you are, just guide me, and I'll worship you.
That is deep, man. That's
and then I literally started to cry, like, at that moment. But it was, like, tears of joy. Like, I wasn't sad. It was, like, a weird, overwhelming feeling, where I was, like, feeling overwhelmed. I don't even know how to explain it. It was just so weird in the moment. But it was, like, a good weird. And so I just said, you know, I don't care who you are, just show me. And I'll worship you. Like, it's not for me to say, no, you have to be this, no, you have to be that. It's not for me to say that.
Wow, that's deep. I mean, anyone watching right now, if they just contemplate, think over this, because you're not, see, what happens is when you give a definite, when you, you're not giving a definite that you're praying to Jesus. You're like, if you are, you're confused.
Right.
So it would be unjust if God didn't bring you out of the confusion.
Right.
You're like, if you're this, you're that, just guide me. I want to be guided.
Right.
You aren't like saying, okay, Jesus guide me or Muhammad guide. Or, no, you're praying to the Creator for guidance.
Right.
You're confused. You want to be unconfused. And God unconfused you and guide you to the truth, to submission to the Creator, not the creation. Islam.
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
MashaAllah. This is amazing. Alhamdulillah. And for the people in the Balkans who are watching this, tuning in now, you're going to have a lot of people who think don't think outside the box. Mm-hmm. You were born here, so you're a little more open-minded, but you still know a little bit about, you know, the things that go on. Can you talk about that? How the train? You talked to me a little bit, give me a little bit of a story. You you broke the news finally to
my family,
your family, because they were what? They were seeing you come home late.
Yeah,
you're going praying.
Yeah.
And I said, like, you're doing something illegal. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, so I was coming home late a few nights. It was, like, just before Ramadan. And so, you know, I was doing, like, voluntary prayers in the masjid with, like, friends. And, like, there was different events and stuff going on. So it was running until, like, 11, 12 p.m., a.m. And so it was running a little late. So I was coming home later, like, every day. And I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do this in Ramadan.
Yeah.
Like, especially with Qiyam being at, like, 2. It was, like, 2 at the masjid I go to until 3. I was like, if I come home every... the last 10 days of Ramadan, like, every day at 3, they're going to think I'm, like, doing crazy things, you know? So I came home, and my family was just, like, waiting for me, and they were like, why are you coming home so late every day?
Mm-hmm.
And they thought I was doing illegal stuff, like, or, like, having a girlfriend, like, stuff like this. And I told them, I was like, no, I'm just hanging out with friends. You know, I tried to just swerve my way past it, but they weren't really falling for it.
Yeah.
They're like, no, this has been a common thing lately, like, you're coming home pretty late. We don't know where you're at. So it was like just spur of the moment. I just said, I converted to Islam. Like, just I didn't even know how to word it, so I just had to say it. Otherwise, it would have never came out.
Yeah.
Because Serbians, it's like a really bad connection with Islam. Like, they don't really like it.
Yeah.
So the whole time I was afraid, how am I going to tell my family? How am I going to tell my parents? How will they react? And so I kind of just up and said it, right? And it's crazy because my dad, the exact words he said to me, I knew he would say. He said, this is the way I was born, Orthodox Christian. He said, this is the way I was born. I don't even care if it's wrong. I'm going to die this way.
Wow. And you hear
that's
this.
That's that ignorance.
You hear this in the Quran a lot. Allah, God Almighty, the Creator, he talks about this. People blindly following, stubbornly really following the way of their ancestors.
Yeah.
You know, just even though if it's not the truth, they just say, this is it. I was born on it, and I'm going to die on it. That's not, I mean, that's not how you were thinking, huh?
No. No. For me, that's foolish. No offense to anybody, but to me, it's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ignorant, and you don't want to learn. You don't have an open mind. You don't really care about the truth. You just want to do what benefits you, what your ancestor did. And so I couldn't do that.
You could have been brought up worshiping a cow.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. You're going to still worship the cow?
Exactly.
Eat hamburgers?
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
But, yeah. So how did they take that then? But you were breaking them in a little bit, right?
Yeah. So for a few months after I reverted, I was sprinkling in like little things. I was like, oh, this doesn't make sense in the Bible. Or, you know, what about when Jesus says here that God is only one? And, you know, like stuff like this. And it was just months and months, maybe like 4 or 5 months. I was just sprinkling in little hints like, hey, Islam's kind of nice. Christianity doesn't make sense, you know. But they didn't really think anything of it. It was more so like, okay, he's curious. Because I've researched like many religions. Like before Islam, I was researching Judaism, Buddhism, and I was really into meditation and stuff like that. And so they didn't really think anything of it, right? They were like, ah, he'll be all right, you know. But when I finally did it, there was like no real anger. It was more so just like sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my family was just sad. They felt, like, betrayed. They're like, you know, this is how we were born. How are you going to switch what you were born as? Like, you know, and that betrayal, it kind of led to just a sense of, like, they just felt disconnected from me, you know. But, alhamdulillah, like, they've come around a lot more. It's only been, like, a month and a half since I've told them.
Yeah.
But they've come around a lot more.
Yeah.
So they're taking it better and better. And my grandma, she hasn't spoke to me since, actually. My grandma.
Oh, you told her also?
Yeah. My family told her.
Yeah.
But so, my mom.
That spread quick, huh?
Yeah. No, it's like this. Like.
Were you getting a lot of phone calls then?
No.
No?
No. I think it was more so just like no one really wanted to talk.
They just boycotted? They started boycotting?
Yeah. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
But so, my grandma, she hasn't talked to me since. But my mom, I'll never forget what she told me. And this is why I love her no matter what. She said, if my mom, so her mom, my grandma, if my mom was to disown you, then I would disown her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love my mom so much. Like, she wouldn't ever disown me. She's not happy with my decision, but if anyone else in the family would disown me, she would disown them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love my mom so much, and, you know, she means a lot to me. So she's coming around the most, I would say, out of everyone.
Yeah.
And it's that mother's love, you know. So.
And you know by now, I mean, how much Islam tells you to honor and respect your parents and your mother.
Yeah, especially the mother.
Especially, yeah. So this is this is just amazing, man, hearing this. People who are open-minded, and you make this prayer, you're praying to God to guide you. And it's something that's so deep yet so simple to do. Many people don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are not thinking. Purpose of life. Mm-hmm. People are dying. We're not going to be here for much longer. I can die tomorrow, car accident, disease, cancer, whatever, something can hit me.
Yeah, and you never know.
You never know. You're young age, young man, and you're thinking about this, and then you're investigating. You start looking at all the different religions, and you're going against the odds, because people who know, like myself, I know people who are watching right now who are from the Balkans in this area, in Bosnia, Serbia, you know that's like something that's like, you know, ingrained in the culture, and people are like, no, if you're Serbian, you got to die Serbian. If you're Croatian, you die. But you were telling me there when you announced online that you accepted Islam, that there was a lot of other Serbians.
Yeah. I was actually kind of surprised.
That were also interested. And like, tell me, tell us about this.
So I made like a quick TikTok. It was like, why converted to Islam? It was like a minute, just like quick overview, like brief, you know, whatever, whatever. And then like immediately blew up. Because it's like a Serbian converting to Islam, it's like unheard of, right? So it like immediately blew up. And so I had a lot of messages from other Serbians.
Yeah.
And it was like people living in Belgrade.
In Belgrade, yeah, in
like
Serbia.
Some people living in Serbia, they were texting me like, hey, like I've been really wanting to convert. I don't know what to do. You know, my family. I'm like, man, I understand. Trust me. I understand the family part. Especially because they live in Serbia. For me, it's more westernized. They might be a little more open to the idea. But for them, man, it's a lot more tough. But I was so surprised. There's like a lot. I had at least like 4 or 5 different people just like within a week of first posting that video of like people texting me from Serbia, or like one of them lives here, but they're all like practicing Islam in secret, or some want to learn more about Islam. Like none of them have told their family yet, and they don't know how they will react. And so I guess it was kind of like enlightening almost to be like, I'm not alone. Like there's a lot more people in my situation. A lot of them have it a lot worse. Like I was complaining like, man, why, like why me? Like I gotta be put in this situation, like this is rough. And then I seen all these people, like their stories are much worse. And it made me just be grateful. I was like, you know what, alhamdulillah, that at least it's not worse, because a lot of people, you know, they have it tougher and it's more difficult for them. So
have you been back to, have you visited?
I'm actually going in July, inshallah. One of my family's getting married over there. So
there's a lot of Muslims in Belgrade, isn't there? There's some.
There's a decent
amount. There's a decent amount. There's some masajid there.
Yeah, right? I think there's like two or three. Yeah,
yeah.
Not a lot, but it's a start. You know, it's a start.
Maybe so. You should also try to visit. You got a lot of people in like Novi Pazar. Have you heard of?
Yeah,
there?
I've heard of it.
There's a lot of Muslims there. Yeah,
I'll try and visit.
Yeah, and that's and how have you been welcomed now? How's the love been shown towards you?
Man, it's crazy. The first, I would say, the first 2 months of converting to Islam, I'd say I got more love from the Muslims than I did in 18 years of practicing Christianity.
Come on.
Just in 2 months.
For real? Why do you think that
is? Well, I'm not even joking. Like, I'm serious. I can't even explain it in words. There's this uncle. I love him to death. He, like, comforted me.
You're calling him, for the people, just, you're calling him uncle. This is uncle, a senior, like an older Muslim.
Yeah, he's in his older ages. Yeah. So he's at the masjid every single day, mashallah, every single day. And so he's seen me, you know, just this white guy sitting in the masjid. He's like, hey, can you speak Arabic? Do you know how to read Arabic? I'm like, no clue. I have no clue. So he told me, he was like, okay, I'll teach you. And I was like, okay, how much? He's like, no, teach you for free. I was like, for free? Okay, like, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
So he spent, like, every single day with me after either Asr or sometimes after Maghrib. He just spent every single day with me for, like, 3-4 months after I first reverted. Like, a month in, maybe. And he taught me Arabic. And now I could read the Quran, like, perfectly.
Allah.
And it's been, like, 9 months.
MashaAllah.
And, like, he's a great teacher, and I'm very thankful for him. And there's been other people from the masjid, other uncles also, like, a little bit older. Yeah. Like, they've invited me to the houses for iftar, you know, this, during Ramadan. And it's just like, man, I don't know you guys, and you're, like, doing everything for me. Like, I've gotten gifted, like, 20 thobes. Like, like I'm, like, running out of space in my closet. It's like, yeah. So, it's been super welcoming, and that's the thing that, like, really I respect so much about Islam and Muslims. I told one guy, kifaya, you know what they wear in Saudi?
Yeah.
They call it Ghutra in Saudi, I think. But it's like the kifaya where it's like long or whatever. I remember I told the sheikh, I was like, mashallah, it looks so good. I really like it. He took it off his head. He said, here. I was like, no. I was like, I just mean it looks good. But I don't like want you to give it to me. But he still went out and bought one for me. I was like, oh, man, thank you. But yeah, it's been nothing but love from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone. I've never had anyone say any smart remark to me or, you know, oh, you're a revert. Like, why do you think this? Nothing. Never. Mm-hmm. It's been nothing but love. So the community's been amazing.
You think your parents, if you invited them, would they come to the masjid to kind of sit, to talk, to learn, to connect with the community there?
I would hope so.
To come to dinner, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how comfortable they would be with it, you know, but it's an idea.
It's an idea.
Yeah. Maybe I'll float that out there and just see, like, hey,
yeah,
you guys want to just see what I'm doing at least, so you know I'm not,
they,
you know.
Are they seeing the positive change now? Are they seeing?
I think so.
You know, slowly. Well, I don't know your past before, but yeah, usually, like, I've had guests who come on, and I remember stories where people would tell me how their parents, Imam Wesley, he's a good brother, Puerto Rican brother, I'll never forget, he shared this story with me. He said that when his father found out that he accepted Islam, when he was asked, I believe that's the thing what happened. Someone asked his father, how do you feel that your son is accepted Islam? He said, I can sleep at night now. So you can imagine the kind of mischief he was in.
Yeah.
And Islam got him good, made him good. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. So that, luckily that, for me, I don't know if it's luckily or unluckily, but I was like super religious even as a Christian.
Yeah.
So I never smoked, never drank, never did any drugs, never hung out with different girls and did all this, never partied, like none of this. Because for me, God has always been first.
MashaAllah.
So there hasn't been like too much of a change in that aspect. But it's like me going to pray every day, like, you know, praying 5 times a day, waking up at 4 in the morning. They're like, man, like, you know, how is he doing it? Like, and all my friends are like, bro, you know what? I don't know how you do it. Because all my friends, they like to, you know, hang out and party and do stuff. And they're like, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, it's just, it was kind of engraved in me.
I want to just touch upon when you talked about you were being taught Arabic because the Quran is in the original and the Arabic, the English is the translation. Mm-hmm. And it's just like if somebody, for the Serbians out there or Croatian, people who say they love Jesus, the language he spoke was Aramaic.
Right.
So imagine now if you had anything original, which we don't.
Right.
And you were seeing that, obviously.
Yeah.
So now, if somebody, let's say we did hypothetically, you'd be trying to say the prayers in Aramaic, so you're learning the Aramaic. Doesn't mean now that you're going to become Aramaic, right? Because you're trying to speak that. No, you're just learning the original language. You're not. You're still Serbian.
Right.
You're not going to become Arab.
Exactly.
Exactly, right? Yeah. But you're a Muslim Serb now. You're one who has submitted to the will of God, and your nationality is Serbian, but you're a Muslim, one who has submitted his will to the Creator. That's what a Muslim is. And I think if these things are pointed out with education, hopefully, and that's why dawah is important. I think that's in this part of the world. I also think we've not did our right part educating Serbs and Croatians and out there and have stuck on most of, a lot of this nationalism, forgot about sharing the deen with them. And we see what happens. So many Serbs out there, Croatians, when they end up learning the truth, they're sincere like yourself.
Yeah.
Shahada time. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. So tell me, so you've learned now step by step, right? You're still fresh and everything. You've learned the how to pray?
Yeah.
The Al-Fatiha, the opening. You've learned some surahs. Yeah.
I'm pretty deep in surahs. I'm actually, today, inshallah, I'm going to be starting my hifz. Officially.
Allahu Akbar.
So
hold on. You're starting your hifz now.
Today, actually, yeah.
Yeah? That's for people.
After Maghrib.
Share with the audience now when you say hifz. What does that mean?
Oh, okay, yeah. So hifz is basically like a program, kind of, where you fully memorize the Quran. Like you fully try to recite it perfectly, every letter, every vowel, everything. You try to memorize it perfectly, right? And so I don't know how many, there's like 10 million or something in the world right now who are Hafiz, where they memorize the entire Quran. And they know it from the first ayah to the last ayah, right? So I'm starting today, inshallah. I was actually supposed to start like 2 days before Ramadan, but then I was talking to the guy who's going to be, I'm going to be doing it with the sheikh. And he was like, oh, during Ramadan, we're going to take a break and whatever. And it's a masjid that's a little bit farther from me. It's like 20, 30 minute drive. So I was like, okay, I'll just start after Ramadan then if you're going to take the break anyway. So inshallah, today I'm going to be starting,
I was watching something they had on BBC News.
You're looking at one of the oldest fragments of the Quran ever discovered. It's written on parchment, most likely made from sheep or goat skin, and it's been dated by experts as being more than 1,300 years old. And that makes it among the earliest known fragments of the Quran anywhere in the world. And it's here in the University of Birmingham. This remarkable document had been resting on the shelves of the university library for decades without anybody realising just how old it was, until a researcher decided to take a closer look. The pages were radiocarbon dated to no later than the year 645, which means the university has found one of the very earliest known examples.
Finding out that we had one of the oldest fragments of the Quran in the whole world was fantastically exciting individually and for the university as well. I mean, we were expecting it to be early, but we did not, I think in our wildest dreams, expect that it would roughly correlate to the lifespan of the Prophet Muhammad, which makes it an incredibly early Quranic fragment.
The manuscript had been stored here in a collection of Middle Eastern documents brought to Birmingham in the 1920s. Academics here say that this discovery goes back to the earliest years of Islam.
The person who actually wrote it may well have known the Prophet Muhammad. He would have seen him probably. He would maybe have heard him preach. He may have known him personally. And that really is quite a thought to conjure with.
Birmingham has one of the country's biggest Muslim communities, and they have welcomed having such a treasure in their city.
When I saw these pages, I was very much moved, and there were tears of joy and emotions in my eyes. And I am quite sure that even the people from all over UK would come here to Birmingham to just have a glimpse of these pages. People would love this.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ilaika minal kitabi wa.
This is an exceptionally rare and valuable discovery, and the university says it will be put on public display. It has no intention of letting these pages from world history leave Birmingham. Sean Coughlin, BBC News.
I don't know if you've heard of it. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
So this is one of the miracles that we have. Look, imagine you have it just as it was recited back then. If someone picks it up, who's fluent in Arabic, they'll be reciting it. And this Birmingham, this copy, now this has been verified. They can go check this up. We have other places in the world, but this is now something I think
that's the oldest one we have.
I'm not sure if it's the oldest. It might be, but this is, they're saying, can you imagine? This is something that now, during the life of Prophet Muhammad, you have this, and now this is something that you're inspiring now to memorize also. Serbian, who accepts Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation, and now you're in his program trying to memorize the verbatim word of God Almighty, the Quran. This is amazing. And that's one aspect of the miracle. Look, but the other one is that, like you were saying, it's in the hearts and minds. If you were just to burn every copy of the Quran, I mean, this is common knowledge. You were to lock them up in the safe, in a vault, get rid of them, you can bring some of these 10 million that memorize it today, and in a day, the Quran would be completed.
Same
be
as
back.
Before.
But you can't say that with other books.
Yeah.
With other, you cannot. Because you wouldn't know which one is which. Which one is there's no original, the different versions, people don't agree on. What's the, you know, connected to Jesus, what's not. It's just like nothing's authentic.
Yeah.
The Quran is authentic.
Yeah. That's also what like really drew me towards Islam. Yeah. It's like the fact that the Quran, first of all, has no scientific errors. Like, there's many bold statements in there. Many bold. In fact, in the Bible, it says that the moon has its own light. Mm-hmm. It's, I believe it's a psalm. It's a psalm of David. It's like it's Proverbs. Proverbs in the 20th chapter, roughly. And it says that the sun is its own light, and the moon is also a smaller light.
Mm-hmm.
In the Quran, it actually says that the sun is its own light, and the moon reflects the sun's light, which scientifically we know is true.
Yes.
So the Bible got it wrong. And a lot of Christians, they like to claim that Muhammad, peace be upon him, like copied the Bible. This is a common claim.
Yeah.
But he didn't copy the errors then, if he did copy it. Like I don't even know how to say that. Like, he corrected the mistakes that are in the Bible.
Yeah.
If he was to copy it, right?
Yeah.
So this idea, it's like, you know, it's like a straw man. You desperately try to You desperately try to like knock the Quran any way you can, and you can't.
Yeah.
And so that's something that really drew me towards Islam. Yeah. Is the preservation of the Quran.
You hear that a lot. He copied. It's like you just said, why didn't he copy the errors? Like somebody's copying from a peer next to him and now he ends up identically. He's gonna have this guy got a C, he's gonna get a C. Mm-hmm. Right? He takes everything. Right. But no, he's getting everything 100%. There's not, he's taking, if he were to take the truths, he would take the errors too, right. But there's no errors.
Right.
No, it's 100%.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have some people, you know, ignorant people who throw some things out there, you know what I mean? But if you go to the experts, you compare it, you'd be like, there's no way that this can come from, he can guess all these things.
Right.
That's what really fascinated me. Yeah. And I was talking to one of my guests about this book. This is a book here. Uh-huh. I don't know if you read this book.
No,
is a gift. There you go. As a gift, brief illustrated guide to understand Islam. This is one of the first books I read, actually,
really?
And that just, you know, fascinated me. It had the prophecies, it had the signs, the, you know, a lot of science, so many things in there, and then the basic teachings of Islam, really, really powerful. That just did it for me, you know. And then
I'll definitely read it.
I was like you. I looked into all the different religions and the Tawhid, the pure monotheism. Yeah. That's what really set it off. Like, you know, you're only worshiping God. That's it. You're not worshiping Jesus or Muhammad or the creation in any shape or form, but you're devoting all your prayer, your sacrifice, everything for the one God, for the Creator, Allah. Yeah.
Thank you for the book. I'll definitely. Yeah.
You're welcome. I'm going to put you on the spot now. So since you're in the hips now, so people can hear this Al-Fatiha, this opening prayer.
Okay.
Can you go ahead and share it and recite it for us?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين. Beautiful. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. So you were reciting the opening chapter. People can go to thedeanshow.com. They can get this if they're in the United States, Canada. They can get this sent over to them. And you were reciting the opening. This is the opening of Fatiha. And what you just said, in the name of God, Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, all praises to Allah, to God Almighty, Lord of the worlds, the most compassionate, the most merciful, master of the day of judgment. You alone we worship, you alone we seek help. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those who you have blessed, not those who you are displeased with or those who go astray. That's the meaning.
Yeah.
That's what we recite 17 times a day minimum in the prayer. And anybody can go ahead and make this prayer to go and seek help. Anything else before we conclude? This is truly an amazing story. This is really, really, inshallah, this is going to be a benefit to so many people, so many more Serbs, even Croatians and others who keep your identity, your nationality, but seek the purpose of life. And if you seek the purpose of life and you do what you did, ask God to get you out of confusion. You say, guide me. Wherever you are, guide me. You'll be led to where you're at today. So what else can you, for the struggles for people out there, what advice would you give them who are in that situation? They're like, okay, I'm brought up in this way, but they know they have this trepidation in their heart. They're seeking to know purpose of life, but Islam, all the negative stereotypes, you know, all the junk that people throw at it. What are you having to think outside the box?
Okay. I can't really relate too much to other religions, like Hinduism, Judaism, Buddhism. I can't really relate too much to anyone who practices that. But what I will say for a lot of the Christians, right, I think the most important thing, a Jewish scribe came to Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. A Jewish scribe came to him, in verse 25, he asked him, how do I gain eternal life? Jesus responded, do you know the law of Moses? The man replied, yes. Jesus said, how do you read it? This is the key, how do you read it? Jesus didn't tell the scribe, how do you interpret it? What are your opinions on the law of Moses? How do you understand the law? No, he said, how do you read it? Right? Clear. You shouldn't throw your own interpretations on it and all this. The scribe then replied, and he like read the law of Moses, you know, hear, O Israel, our Lord, our God is one, X, Y, you know, all that. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. So I think that's the most important part. For all the Christians, when you read the Bible, how do you read it? Like, don't listen to what pastors tell you. No. This is what he means when he says this. This is what Jesus means when he says this. No. What does it actually say? Right? I think that's the most important part. Because a lot of people, we have our own interpretations, we have our opinions, and we try to force it on.
Yeah.
So you're born with the Trinitarian belief, and then you try to force it on every verse you could find. You try to just force it in there, even if it doesn't fit. But no, how do you read the law of Moses? We're God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." How do you read that? The Lord is one.
One.
You could try to force, oh, but this is what it means. It's a Trinity. No, no, no. Because Jesus said, how do you read it? He didn't say, how do you interpret it? How do you, what's your opinion on it? No, no, no. So I think the most important thing for all Christians, read the Bible, and how do you read it? Don't force a Trinitarian belief, and don't force a Unitarian belief. Just read it, and just see what happens. And also, I would recommend just try reading the Quran, because that's where I started, like when I first started researching Islam. I just read the Quran. The first, I think I stopped at Al-Imran. I didn't get to An-Nisa yet. So I finished like the first three or four chapters, and then that's when I was like ready to make my decision. Like that's how eye-opening it was. I didn't even have to read the whole thing. I was like, no, I'm ready. So I would say, for all the Christians, how do you read the Bible? Don't put your own interpretations on it. Don't, you know, force beliefs and make things fit where it doesn't fit. And just keep an open mind. Just try and read the Quran. If you hate it after you read it, okay, then there's nothing I can do. But at least try to read it. Mm-hmm. And like ask questions. Be open-minded. Don't be ignorant, right? Don't just, oh, no, I was born this way, I'm going to die this way. Like, that's, I can't really respect that opinion where you just like so closed-minded you don't care. If you think the Quran is so wrong, then read it and find an error, and there you go. If you can find one, you'll be the person who defeated Islam. People have been trying for 1400 years, everyone's failed. So if you think you're the guy who could do that, you're the woman who could do that, then try it. So I just recommend all the Christians read the Bible and do as Jesus says when he says, how do you read it? Don't force beliefs on it. And for everyone who has already reverted to Islam, just take it slow. A lot of people try to rush things, right? And people, a lot of uncles, they'll try to like, oh, this is the proper sunnah, this is what you should be doing, whatever, don't do this, do this, pray this way. They'll try to tell you some things, but just take it slow.
You've experienced that.
Yeah, a little bit. They're coming from good places. Yeah. They want to help. Yes. They're coming from good places. But it's like, man, it's been 9 months.
Slow down.
Right, Islam was revealed over 23 years. And, you know, everyone didn't just start doing everything in the first month Islam was revealed and, you know, the Quran was revealed. Like, it didn't all just happen in a month, right? Mm-hmm. So all the reverts, just take it slow. There's no rush. Just learn the best you can. And, you know, the most important thing, go to the masjid. Mm-hmm. Go to the masjid. Because I've noticed when I pray at home, there's like, I don't feel as connected. I'm like, I'm focused, I'm praying, you know, but I don't feel as connected. And sometimes Shaitan will whisper, he's like, oh, you could pray a little later. You're at home, you got time, it's Asr, you got 2 more hours, and you could pray later. And then sometimes you'll like get busy and miss it. But if you go to the masjid when you're supposed to pray, the same time every day, you won't miss a prayer. And so I recommend just try to go to the masjid as much as possible. And there are brothers and sisters who could help you and give you guidance and stuff along, you know, those lines where they could help you grow a lot more, you know. So I would say those are probably the last three things that I would end off on.
And that's solid advice, man, because you can also have some Bosnians who are born Muslim, but then they're not praying even. And now you're here, Marco. Right? Who accepts Islam, and he's giving advice now. See, this is the beauty of Islam now. Right? Now you're coming up and reminding people, praying the masjid, and make your prayers, because you have a lot of Muslims, you know, and they're just, I think they inherited Islam, but they're not practicing proper, you know, they're not even praying. So hopefully this inspires them to be like, man, if he can do it, look at that, you know, come from this, from this background, accepts Islam, comes against his family and everything, you know, and now he's over here reciting Quran. He's aspiring to be a hafiz of Quran. That's your intention, how to be a hafiz of Quran now?
Inshallah.
May Allah make it happen. All right. So inshallah, probably maybe I don't know how long. Let's say in 2 years we'll check up and have you back on. We'll note it. This will get you more motivation. Inshallah, so we can, next time we get you back on, you'll be a hafiz Quran. You're one who's preserving the Quran by heart and memory. Yeah. Inshallah.
Can I share one more thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. My favorite ayah in the entire Quran. I had to memorize it. I was making dua one night. It was before I told my family I reverted to Islam. I was making dua,
Dua, tell dua.
Oh, what so dua, it's like when you ask Allah for something. So
supplication,
it's supplication, right? Yeah. So you're praying, you're like, ya Allah, do this for me, I'm scared, I'm doing, you know, and you just name things that you're afraid of, or maybe you want, or pleasures, or, you know, you want a new car, I don't know, whatever. You want Jannah, like you want heaven, paradise, you know, you pray for different things and you ask Allah for it. So I was making dua, and I'll never forget this day. I was making dua, it was like 1 or 2 in the morning, and I was like deeply distressed. It was like my fam, I didn't know how they were going to react. And I was just listing different things I was afraid of. I literally said, ya Allah, I'm scared of this. What if my family rejects me? What if, you know, I'm not good enough? What if this? I literally said, I'm scared of this. 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 I kept naming different things I was afraid of. And I opened up the Quran, and literally it was like the third verse. It was like the third verse. It was Surah Taha, ayah 46. قَالَ لَا تَخَافَ إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Do not be afraid. Your Lord is with you, and I am all hearing and all seeing. And I think that is the most important piece of advice for all the reverts. You might be afraid right now, but remember what Allah says. He is always with you, and He sees everything, and He hears everything. And then Surah Taha, ayah 46. My favorite ayah, probably will die, that would be my favorite forever. Mashallah. Because that point where I'm making dua, I'm saying I'm scared of this, I'm scared of this, I'm scared of this. I open up the Quran, it's like the second or third ayah, and it says, do not be afraid. I am with you. I am all hearing and all seeing. And so
those are those signs, huh? So yes. You're over there now praying to Allah, mm-hmm. help me with this, I'm scared of this. You just happen to open up
the like 5 minutes later. I like finished dua. I just sat for a few minutes just trying to like gather myself. Like I was distressed, like deeply distressed, and I was just like, let me just read the Quran, like, you know. And I couldn't read Arabic at the time. I was like struggling. I just knew a few letters, so I only read it in the English. But after I read it in the English, I was like, I have to memorize this. So despite I couldn't really read Arabic yet at that point, it was like recently after I converted, I went and like heard someone recite it on YouTube, and I played it over and over and over and over and over until I could recite it myself. Mm-hmm. And so that's my favorite ayah. So all the reverts, just remember, Allah is with you. He's all seeing and all hearing. So just don't be afraid. You'll be all right, inshallah.
Inshallah. Hey, Marco, thank you very much for sharing that. This is really truly inspirational. Inshallah, this can be a motivation, not just for the Muslims, for the Serbs, for Croatians, any human being out there who wants to know their purpose. Yeah. They can, inshallah, they can go to listen to your story to get motivated. They can go to thedeanshow.com right now. You can get this free on us, gift from me to you. And if you have some questions, 1-800-662-4752. Call right now. Don't be shy. And inshallah, you can start a new journey in life and get all those answers to the questions of why you've been created, why you're here, where you're going when you die. Everything is lucidly clear. And inshallah, we can have you back when you hopefully... You memorize the Quran, inshallah, you'll do it, inshallah. That's one of the miracles of the Quran. And you're a Serbian who's now Muslim, who's inspiring to be a hafiz of the Quran. Thank you very much. May Allah reward you and continue to bless you.
Thank
you
for having me on.
Thank you. Jazakallah. Okay. Assalamu alaikum to Allah. And thank you guys. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Listen, if you want an opportunity to support Dawah, to get the Sadaqatun Jariyah, this is a project for you to do that. I'm saying to you very clearly, you know, whether it's a dollar or whether it's $1 million, this is the project that you need to support so we can have a template, you know, for Dawah and a community. And we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to duplicate this here 10 times all over America. This is Sheikh Khalid Yassin speaking to you from the Deen Dawah Center in Tampa, Florida. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.